As I said, it's a privilege that we can come together today and we can worship Him and we can dwell on who He is and what He has done for us. And it's in my continuous prayer that we pray for Singapore, we pray for the people that are affected, we pray for the world, because of course, what is happening in the world is terrible to know of all the people that are suffering. It's terrible to know of all the people that are, especially as we read about Italy at this moment of time and what the things that are happening in Europe. It's important that we keep Europe as well in our prayer. But every day I'm so thankful to see what the government does in Singapore and what they do, everything in their power to keep us from seeing the sky rising of the cases as well. But I think it's important as we hear everything that is going on that we also remember who we are in Christ. Because as we remember who we are in Christ, it gives us confidence and it gives us faith and it gives us peace beyond any peace that this world can ever offer us. And even as we take precautionary measures and so on, we at the same time need to know what the Word says in relation to Jesus and what He came to do. So today I'll be speaking about a topic that is so important but maybe a reminder to many of you this morning. But it's the protection and redemption through the blood of Jesus. And when you talk about, maybe you don't talk about the blood of Jesus, right, to new believers or pre-believers. It's not necessarily the topic that comes up first. But for us as believers, it's so important that we know, what does the blood of Jesus mean for you and me? What does the blood of Jesus mean for us today? What does it mean when it comes to my work tomorrow? What does it mean when it comes to my family? What does it mean when it comes to the nation of Singapore? And in order for us to know, we need to see what the Word says. And there are times that we have to put up different kind of glasses. Because we see things through media, we see things through all kinds of rumors and all kinds of things that people are constantly, you know, you're constantly getting messages. I don't know about you, but one minute you're getting messages that wants to break down your faith, the next minute you're getting messages that you're supposed to hold the faith, and then the next minute you're getting something again that tells you, oh, be worried, be afraid, and then the next minute again you're told to keep your faith. So we are constantly being bombarded by messages, we're constantly being bombarded by news. And all of this will take our attention during this time. But we still need to take moments when we hear of all of those things, and we need to put up the right glasses as well. That we don't only look at what is happening around us, but we look at things through the Word of God. And I believe, so one of the points I want to speak about is we have been brought near through the blood. So it's through the blood of Jesus that you and me have been brought into a close relationship with God. If the blood of Jesus had not been shed for you and me, if the blood of Jesus had not been shed for our sins, if the blood of Jesus has not been shed so that we could come and have a relationship with God, we would still be far off and we would still be lost. But thankfully, Jesus came near and He came close to us. And when we put up the right glasses, it doesn't mean that we stop seeing what is around there, but it may shift our focus a little bit. Instead of just seeing the negativity, instead of just seeing the fears, instead of just seeing the anxiety, as we adjust our focus, we start to see things, but through the cross. Because when we look at the cross, what happened at the cross? Jesus died for our sins, but Jesus also died for our sicknesses. When the blood of Jesus was poured, it meant that He was coming into everlasting covenant with His children. So, we are in a covenantal relationship with God today. And because of that covenantal relationship, you know, what is a covenant? It's an agreement that is made between two people most of the time. And through the covenant, we have all kinds of clauses. If you do this and I do that. But the thing is, when it comes to our covenant with God, we have done nothing to earn it. We have done nothing to deserve it, but it's still been given to us. But Jesus paid a high price on the cross for us because of that. And his blood, because as we look at the Old Testament and as we look at the New, we find that in the Old Testament there was always a need for animals to be sacrificed in order for the sins of the people to be covered. But the blood could only cover, it could not take away. But God was in a constant kind of a mission of bringing his people close to him, of redeeming his people and making a people to himself. And as we look at the very thing that Jesus did on the cross, he paid the ultimate price so that he made a covenant with his blood through dying on the cross, through going through the beatings, through going through so much humiliation. He made a covenant with us, which means everything that is yours today. So what does that mean, that everything that is his is ours today? Not only is it forgiveness of sins, but there is a protection. There's a protection we can believe in. There's a protection we can pray over. There's a protection in the blood of Christ. So Ephesians 2:12-13 says, "And at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus." So, with other words, we have the covenant of promise. And those of us that were once far off have been brought near. So, I want to encourage us this morning. Because when it comes to the cross of Jesus, when it comes to the sacrifice he made, that we adjust the way that we see. We don't just see and then react. We don't just see everything and let the fear come in and let the worry and let the anxiety come in and fill our hearts and fill our minds. But that we at the same time, we need to choose to see it through the eyes of the cross. You know, the cross today is not, Jesus is no longer hanging there. It's an empty cross. He resurrected again. But his blood was shed for you and me. And that precious blood speaks about so much that is given to you today. So much promises that we can have because we have been called the children of God. You know, Jesus journeyed to the cross and he shed his blood for us on a couple of occasions where his blood was shed. First, his blood was shed in Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed more earnestly, so his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. That is on his journey to the cross. That was the first time we hear or read in the Bible that blood was shed. The second time was after he was being flogged by Pilate's order. The third time when the Roman soldier, having set the crown of thorn on his head. The fourth and main was when he was crucified and nailed, and the nail went through his hands and feet and the blood dripping to the ground. The fifth time is after his death when soldiers pierced his side with a spear and out came blood and water. So not only once, but few times was the blood of Jesus shed for you and me. All the way to the cross. And, you know, as the Bible says, as we will come to later, by his stripes you were healed. When he was being striped, when he was being beaten and blood was coming out, it's because of that that we can find healing. So time and time again, we find the power of the blood and that we have been brought near because of the blood. And 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without a blemish and without a spot." So if we think about that, you know, because when it comes to what is in front of us, when it comes to the image that we have in our mind, you know, we may go to sleep and we think about the virus. Maybe we wake up in the morning and we think, what is new? What is going on? And somehow, more and more, that image starts to have more power. It starts to have more authority because it represents something. And it, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that we should ignore any precautionary measures or anything like that. I'm just thinking, you know, what is taking a hold of our mind? Because even though we know what is happening, we still need to see it through the eyes of the cross. We still need to look at what am I feeling at this point of time? What am I going through at this point of time? And what do I see that Jesus did for me? So the Lamb of God, you know, His Lamb was being offered in the Old Testament, in the Passover. That Lamb was to be Jesus one day. It was foreshadowing something greater that was to come. A greater covenant, a greater promise. And I want us to look at that in Exodus and go to the Passover and the protection through the blood. Just to paint the picture of where this with the blood and the protection. And how we can know that we have a protection through the blood of Jesus today. So Exodus 11:6-7. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So what was Israel asked to do? You know, this is where we read about in the Bible about the 10 plagues. And God gives the instruction to Israel to put the blood on the doorposts. And through that, they were to find protection against all the death of the firstborns. Firstborns of children or firstborns of animals as well. And what I find so amazing is that, you know, what we need to carry and keep in mind is that they were told to do something. They were told to believe in something. They were told to act. They were told to put the blood somewhere. And the same thing with us today. You know, God, Jesus, has poured His blood for us. But it's so important that we, when we wake up in the morning, that it becomes our prayer and we say, Lord, I ask for the blood of Jesus' protection upon my life, upon my family, upon my company, upon my church. Because there is an action needed. There is something that we need to speak and we need to put our faith in it. We need to put our prayer to it. So it has been shed for us. It has been given for us. But it's so important it also becomes a part of our prayer. It's so important that we put it upon our lives. We pray it over our lives. We pray it over our families. Because that blood carries more power than anything else. And you know, then you may ask, but why have some Christians been affected by the virus? Why are we seeing some Christians die because of the virus? And these are all questions that we may not necessarily have all the answers to. But what I want to encourage us today and give us today is what I see in the scripture. And what I see in the scripture is the power of the blood. And what I see in the scripture is that Jesus paid a high price for us. And that we have been brought close to Him and into covenant with Him. And because of that covenant, we can say, Father, I ask, or I pray. I pray this morning. I pray for the blood of Jesus. I pray for the blood of Jesus upon my children as they go to school. I pray they will not be affected by the virus. I pray my family will not be affected by the virus. So we continuously proclaim it over our lives. We continue to put our faith in it. We continue to put our trust in it. Not denying what is happening. But if we put our trust only in that and we don't put our trust in God, we miss sight of what He has done through the cross. Because there is a protection given. And I love this in Exodus what it says. Not even a dog shall move its tongue. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue. So not only, you know, it's like God is, He's just emphasizing one more time. You will be kept safe. But not only that, not a dog will move against you. So the protection of God through that blood was so great because Israel obeyed the commandments of the Lord. And the same thing, you know, if we look at that, that was the blood of an animal. But today we are proclaiming we are believing in the protection of a blood that is higher than anything else. We are believing in a protection of a God that is higher than anything else. You know, Jesus' sacrifice is so much higher than the sacrifice of a lamb. It will only foreshadow the greater things for the world to come. So as we go through our everyday, it's important that we look through the eyes of the cross. It's important that as we make precautionary measures, as we make decisions, that we still count in God and His wisdom and His command. That not only be reactive to everything, but if the Lord leads us a certain way, then we rely on Him. If the Lord speaks, then we allow Him to lead. And every day He wants us to know that we have been brought closer and we have been brought into a relationship of hope. We've been brought into a relationship where we can, the same way that Israel did, we can proclaim the blood of Jesus upon our lives. And there is power in that blood. And there is power in that name. We can confess this word. There are so many things He has given us. We can confess this word. We can confess Psalm 91 and speak about the plague not coming close to our dwelling. We can pray over us the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, this morning I pray for the protection of the blood. And that doesn't mean that you're having, like, we don't do that physically in the natural, but we're doing a statement in the spiritual. And that blood speaks higher than anything else. Amen? Are you still with me this morning? Amen. I know these are not easy times, and we're all going through different things. But I want to encourage us this morning. Who is the greater image in my mind? Is it the image of the virus, or is it the image of what Jesus has done for me? And what am I putting my faith in? Just to read, Exodus 12:13 says, Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be in you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. You know, as I was praying and seeking the Lord for this Sunday, because because I know, of course, many of us and many may be struggling during this time. But I just felt how the Lord was emphasizing what He has done for us on the cross and the importance of believing in the power of His blood. The importance of believing in that what He has done is the full and redemptive work of Christ. There can be nothing added to it. There can be nothing taken away from it. But it's fully ours, but we need to put our faith in it. We need to put our trust in it. We need to allow it to become our prayer. So Jesus became the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. So, Revelation tells us that the believers, they overcome the enemy. They overcome the attacks of the enemy. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, as we put our words in line with the Word of God, as we speak out the things that we see the Lord is showing us through His Word, there is power in those words. So when we speak out in line with what Jesus has done for us on the cross, how did they overcome Him? They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. There is protection in the blood, but we have to apply it. We have to pray it out. We have to speak it out. We have to put our trust in it and our faith in it. We have to dwell on it and believe that what He has done applies to you and me today. That it's not just a fairy tale. It's not just something that has been set. It's not just something that we were taught in Sunday school, but it's the actual reality. And if it's ever been a reality, if it's ever been applicable to our lives, it should be today. Every day as well, but as we face what we are facing in the world today, if not today, when should we apply it? Because how did they overcome the enemy? They overcame him by the blood and the testimony, with the confession of the word and with the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He gave His life. His blood is there to protect us today. You know, it even says in Isaiah 54:17, just the beginning words, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So time and time again, we find one promise after another. No weapon formed against you. They overcame by the power of the testimony and with the blood of the Lamb. So we see it the same way we see in the Old Testament in the Exodus. There were protection in the blood, but we see the same thing in the New Testament. So the Lord wants to remind us, I believe, to dwell on it and believe in it and trust in it. You know, the enemy will do his best to keep us away from understanding the power and protection in the blood of Jesus. That we can continually choose to meditate and pray over our lives. He will try to keep us distracted and get us distracted or make us doubt what has been given to us. He will try to keep us away from the truth of the restoration and healing we can have through the blood. We need the word in us and in our mouth and in our confession. So the word is near us, as Romans 10:8 says. The word is near us. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. So the enemy will do his best to make us be ignorant of what we have been given. He will do his best to keep us away from the truth of the word and what the Lord has said. But it's important for us to constantly be reminded of it, to constantly go back to it, and to stand our ground. You know, the other day, or a few weeks back, I was just reminded of this story as I was preparing. And I've been contemplating if I should say it, but I'm being reminded of it again. You know, some weeks back, me and my husband were playing some soccer with some people. And suddenly there comes this older Singaporean man. And he just decides to walk straight through the field while we were playing. And he couldn't care less. And, you know, and he just, you know, it was quite a big field. And he just kept on walking. And everybody was looking at him. They were trying to give him signs of, could you get out of the way? We're actually playing here. You're standing in front of the goal. And, you know, or we were trying to get past you to get to the goal. But he couldn't care less. He just kept on going. He looked up. There was no facial expression. He just looked at us and he went on. He walked on, kept on going until he came to the other side and the game could continue. So, and I just thought of that. You know, the same way as believers, we need to be willing to stand our ground. And, of course, with the wisdom of God, as the Lord leads us to make different decisions. And sometimes those decisions may be very irrational according to human's decision. Sometimes those decisions will feel like out of everything that we have thought of, or sometimes they may even feel natural. But when I think about that old man, how he couldn't care less. There were so many things going on around him. So many people running, but he couldn't care less. He could have easily walked somewhere else. But he had a mission. He was going to get over the field. And that's what his goal. And I think that's where you and me as believer, we need to, the more we dwell in the more word, the more we dwell on the promises of God, the more we will keep on going the path that God has laid before us. Even though there may come distractions left and right, even though there may be people that say all kinds of things to us, But we trust that the path that God has put before us will continue to walk until He may say something else. Because we know what we have been given. And even though there may be, you know, screaming, even though there may be yelling and all those things, but we know we have a mission and we're going to get to the other side. You know, at some point this virus will be over, but the name of Jesus will still be magnified. At some point this virus is going to go out. We will come through. We're not going to stay in it forever. And when we come through, the blood of Jesus will still have the same power. His name will still be high and lifted high. And He will still be on the throne. And His blood will still be applicable to us then as it is today. There is only one name that can last forever, and that is the name of Jesus. There is only one name that every knee is going to bow to, and that is the name of Jesus. And with everything that has been given to us, He has given us that we can make sound decisions. We can make good decisions with His leading. We are able to walk through this time. And if we know who we are in Christ, when fear comes, we can go back to what He says. When worry comes, when anxiety comes, we can come back to what He says. And every morning and every day we can say, Lord, I pray for the protection of the blood upon myself, upon my family. You know, every day I'm praying for the blood of Jesus upon you, upon our congregation, upon each and every one that belongs to this church. Because I know there is power in His blood. Amen. And as I say, sometimes there may be things that we don't understand. But we still need to go from the experience back to the Word. Even though that is what I'm seeing right now, even though that is what is happening right now, that doesn't make the blood of Jesus any less value. Even though it may seem that some Christians have been affected by it, and that does not mean that their faith is weak. Definitely not. But for some reason, they may have been affected. For some reason, some of them may have died. But that doesn't make the Word any less true. That doesn't make the Jesus blood any less real and any less powerful. We can minister to healing through His blood. In closing, Isaiah 53 and 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. So again, as we talk with people today, even if and people may experience fear, or we can bring in, because Jesus died not only for our physical pain, He died for psychological things as well. And there is a ministry through His Word. There is power through His Word. And as the Bible says, by His stripes, we are healed. Time and time again, it's in His blood. What do we find? We find protection. In His blood, what do we find? We find healing. So there is so much that we find in the blood of Jesus that we can find comfort and strength and hope for today. Because of the pain that He went through, because of the slashes that He took, because of the blood that drained down His body, because of the blood that went through at the cross, we find salvation, we find protection, and we find healing. Promises that we can pray over our lives, promises that we can believe in and trust in and continue to confess. And when people are afraid, we know that because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can minister the peace of God and the healing of God and the goodness of God. So that is my encouragement to us this morning. That let's not only see what is happening, but let's see it through the eyes of the cross. Let's sharpen our sight. And again, let's ask the Lord, you know, what are you saying to me during this time? What are you speaking to my family? Have you sat down and asked the Lord for a word even that may minister a special thing that you can hold on during this time in relation to His protection, in relation to where He is calling you to do during this time. Maybe it's when it's shaking with companies, shaking with the finances and all of that. I believe the Lord wants to give you a word for exactly today, because you will come through on the other side. But it's so satisfying to know that we have come through holding on to God, even though we may sometimes feel anxiety, worries and so on. But even right there and then, we go back to the Word and we see what He has said, and we let it be the rock right now in our lives. So we need to ask ourselves, are we only looking at the problems, or are we looking at the answers as well? Do we only give people problems, or do we choose to give them the answer as well? You know, we've spoken about leading one soul to Christ. And I understand that people may not necessarily, non-believers, at this point of time, be running into the doors of a church. But that doesn't mean that we cannot minister to them, we cannot reach out to them, or that we can share the gospel with them. Because I believe as our hearts are willing that the Lord would give us the right things to say and the right things to do. Because He is with us and He will never forsake us. Amen? Amen. I've asked the worship to sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And before I pray, I would just like us to stand up together and just sing that and meditate on what He has done for us.